Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, why do you shout USA, USA? The images and YouTube clips that have emerged from the gathering at the World Trade Center site on Sunday night tend to focus on that core group of revelers who hopped on each other's shoulders and expressed their pride in full throat. Singing the national anthem from Ground Zero to the White House to Iowa State University in West Point, we can go online and watch videos of the impromptu celebrations that lasted till daybreak Monday morning. And one thing seems to be a constant. No matter how creative the cheering or how many times the national anthem or God Bless America were sung, eventually the crowd would fall back on a simple standard. Here, perhaps the lasting moment from when the news broke from the stands at the Mets-Phillies game about 10:45 Sunday night. Then later that night at Ground Zero, for all its simplicity, the USA, USA chant evokes some very complex reactions. No doubt many of you see it as coarse, reflective of the worst parts of jingoism. Sometimes it falls flat. The Simpsons have often mocked the USA chant. Here's Homer after Marge tells him he can stop for ice cream.
Woohoo! USA! USA! USA!
And take a listen at what happened Monday morning when someone tried to start the USA chant on the L train in Williamsburg.
All right, New Yorkers, this isn't always appropriate, but it is today, so if you don't mind anybody with a pair, join me. USA! USA! Come on, USA! Bin Laden's dead! USA! All right. You're welcome to all the military. And everyone who protects you while you sleep.
No takers on the L train. On the other hand, it's a simple chant, and it's the name of our country. All over the world, crowds cheer the name of their country, often at sporting events. Canada?
Canada! Canada! Canada!
Mild Canada? England? Of course, those are at sporting events, not the killing of another human being, even Osama bin Laden. So we're going to open the phones now for a little bit of reflection on the celebrations and the chant, USA, USA, and what it means to you. Do you join in? Do you cringe? Let's get past our initial reaction and figure out why this chant is so fraught. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And to help us with this is Daniel Fromson, associate editor at The Atlantic magazine. He has written a brief history of the USA chant. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to WNYC.
Morning, Brian. How are you?
Good. If you wrote a history, did you find the origins of when people started chanting the name of our country?
Sure. Well, the origins are a bit complicated, but it seems to have arisen sometime in the mid to late 70s, mostly around sporting events. And from then, kind of moved pretty swiftly into being a sort of hybrid sports and political chant. It was quickly picked up during the Reagan administration at a time when Reagan was trying to associate himself with the patriotism that had emerged during the 1980 and 1984 Olympics. So it really was a sports thing to begin with, but quickly emerged as sort of a more general patriotic chant.
Relative to the Cold War at that time, or not really?
Yeah, it was definitely related to the Cold War, particularly related to the Olympics, because, of course, there was the first kind of famous incident of where the cheer appeared was the 1980 Miracle on Ice, in which the U.S. men's hockey team defeated the Soviet Union at Lake Placid, New York. And so really this was a moment where the U.S. was defining itself in opposition to the Soviets. And then there was a lot of continued sort of Cold War strife related to sporting events as the U.S. proceeded to boycott the 1984 Winter Olympics, which then led to a Soviet boycott of the 1984 Summer Olympics. And as a result, when the U.S. proceeded to dominate those Olympics, you saw the USA chant emerging even more strongly. And then it also happened to be an election year. So Reagan was trying to capitalize on that patriotism and played a very prominent role in those Summer Olympics.
David in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
It never ceases to amaze me how people, usually on the left, find ways to get offended and basically show their contempt for the average American. When you say you're proud of your country and the situation comes up unexpectedly, crowds can't get together and figure, hey, what's a good line for us to say? What's a thing we could do? USA has become the standard thing to shout for, I'm proud of my country. Because it has become the standard thing, that's what people do when they don't have time to think about what to do. Would those who take offense at USA also take offense if people just stood there and applauded, or if people went boola boola, as people in Yale do? That's what they say when they're proud of their school. It's incredible to me. Conservatives never do this about liberals. It's unbelievable.
David, thank you. Dan in Morristown, who I think is on the other side of the question.
Yes.
Did you hear David?
I'm listening right now.
And he's done. You're listening on a little delay. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm turning my radio off.
Yes. Tell us what you think.
Well, I don't think death is anything to celebrate. I think we all feel elated that we've come to the end of a chapter, if you will. But this is not something to celebrate. I think an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, is Old Testament. It's what a Christian nation should be looking at. Christ came to talk about forgiveness. And I'm praying for the soul of Obama and all Bin Laden and all these other crazy people who have been carefully taught to think what they think.
And if you get overtaken by emotion of loving your country at a time like this, do you think the emotion is illegitimate? And if it just comes out as chanting the initials of your country, is that jingoistic?
Is that what?
Jingoistic? Unchristian, perhaps?
Egoistic?
Jingoistic. But forget it. You said it's a Christian nation. This is an unchristian thing. Is it unchristian?
Well, I just think it's hubris and we're exciting a riot with that instead of just being more meditative on, that we need to project how we want to be treated.
Dan, thank you very much. Richard in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Brian. Love the show. Gets me down the LIE a lot of mornings.
Thank you. And you shout USA sometimes.
Sure I do. And but what I feel it is, ever since the World Trade Center bombings, the people of this country have had a lot of pent-up frustrations and pent-up energy and really no way to express it. And I think when something happens that we consider to be a positive issue, such as getting Osama bin Laden, then this is a safe way to redirect it. It's like shaking up a bottle of champagne. You could open it in somebody's eye or just shoot it safely into the air. And I think that's what this is like.
Thank you. Larry in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Brian. So Sunday night I was in Philadelphia at the Mets-Phillies game.
Aha. Uh-huh. We heard you in that clip.
You did. Well, actually, you didn't, because what happened was the crowd had gone from chanting, let's go Phillies, and then it was quiet for a while, and then the word started spreading through the crowd. People were getting phone calls from people outside of the stadium telling us what had happened, and it was the spontaneous USA, USA, and I was very stunned by that. I didn't think it was the appropriate response. People were hugging each other. Some people were crying. But I the first round of USA, I didn't participate because I wasn't sure what that meant. And as time went on and the chanting continued, I have to say that I did, because I did get caught up in that emotion of being very proud. Finally, we got this guy, and in fact, as a New Yorker in this sea of Philadelphians, I was at last able to chant something.
Our own producer, Jody Avergan, was at the Ground Zero gathering Sunday night, and he wrote that the celebration felt like it could have taken place outside Yankee Stadium. He wrote this on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. He wrote the crowd was even adopting the typical rhythmic structure of Derek Jeter, ba 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 ba, to Screw Bin Laden, ba 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 ba, you know, so that place where sports and real life kind of overlap. I guess you had this experience is kind of bizarre.
It was extremely bizarre because you're absolutely right. This was not a sporting event. This had nothing to do with watching the game. This was real life that was infringing on this game, and it was interesting because the monitors did not flash the news. I mean, for a while there, at least in Philadelphia, the game went to 14 innings. I left after the 10th inning, but you know they didn't announce it to the crowd officially. I don't think they wanted to really create that all of a sudden real world experience. Yes. For people watching the game.
Although I tell you, I once had the opposite experience. In October of 2001, just after 9/11, I was at a Yankees-A's playoff game when the game was delayed because President Bush was on television and they played it on the stadium talking about the hunt for Bin Laden. And it was one of those speeches where he said, you know, we're going to smoke him out, wanted dead or alive, one of those things. And the crowd started chanting, USA, USA. And as soon as it was done, the stadium announcer came on and said, now the lineup for Oakland. And as soon as he said Oakland, people went, boo.
Oh, right.
So much for USA, USA. All right, Larry, thank you very much for your calls. Listeners,
thank you.
All of you who chimed in on this, thank you for your calls. Now, all together, WNYC, W. No, I'm just kidding. Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, we will start what I think will be a very interesting four-part history series this month with historian Jill Lepore. We're going to take four pieces of history from different times that help us understand things that are going on today. So stay with us, Brian Lehrer and WNYC. NYC, NYC, NYC.